Welcome to the King of Kings Watchmen podcast, a prophetic broadcast for this generation where heaven's truth meets the urgency of the times. Join Prophet Ronald, alongside Prophetess Hawa Bender, servants of the Most High, called to watch, pray, and release God's word with boldness and clarity. Together, they equip Watchmen, awaken the body of Christ, and help you discern the times while deepening your relationship with God through prophetic insight and spirit-led teaching. Are you spiritually alert to what God is saying in this hour? Feel free to visit thekingofkingswatchmen.org for more prophetic insight and to give. Stay ready, stay aligned. This is the King of Kings Watchmen podcast.
Hello, this is Prophet Ronald Bender. Today I want to talk about true and false prophets and prophecy. And the goal for today is to help bring clarity on how we can test what is true and what is false, as the scripture says. And I wanted to give a vision I had. And this vision gave me some insight about how God actually sees people. And he showed me in this vision a clear image of a vast amount of people and how many are being deceived by false prophets. So what I saw was a large multitude of people. I saw people's heads with their eyes facing me. It looked like different nationalities of people. Out of all of these people, I saw a small portion not deceived. The majority of people were deceived by false prophecy. I heard the Lord say that my people are deceived by false prophets and false prophecy in the churches. Recognizing the true from the false is essential to receive God's blessings in your life and reject Satan's deception. God blesses his people through prophecy. This is why God had it written to desire prophecy. So in this vision, it was very vivid. It was like many people, not just a small amount, but many were hearing people prophesy, people calling themselves prophets, and they were being rapidly deceived. I've been hearing a lot of stories, and this has been going on for generations, of course, where people would say, if you give $1,000 or this amount of money, then I'll give you a prophecy. Well, God's prophecies are not for sale. If anyone tries to sell a gift of God, then they're already in error. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1, it says, to pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Prophecy in its basic form is edification and encouragement. So every believer is to prophesy, but not every believer is a prophet. Why do I say that? When we become saved, we should be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Once we receive the Holy Spirit, we should prophesy, which is to give words of edification, comfort, and exhortation. Basically, that is prophecy in its simplest form. Basic prophecy is not foretelling the future. It is not words of knowledge, and it is not broad words of God. They are basically encouraging words, which is what the basic form of prophecy is. Now, a prophet themselves, as we see in Scripture, can give a foretelling. So there is a difference between foretelling and forthtelling. Foretelling is communicating, this is going to happen, and it will happen within either a few days, a few years. A lot of times we hear the words soon, or it will happen pretty rapidly, or God is going to bring this to pass. And each one of those words means a different time frame. But prophecy to come to pass really relies on the person fulfilling a condition, meaning this. If someone prophesies to you that God is going to change your work situation, that doesn't necessarily mean out of nowhere you're going to get in a job. What it means for you as the individual receiving a prophecy is, I need to go apply for some jobs, put a resume together, or do something on my part, and God will bring the job into my life that I need. Similar to this, Moses was prophesying to Pharaoh all the 10 plagues. And Moses had to do something. To turn the water into blood, he had to put the staff in the water. So there's always an action on a person's part for something to come to pass. You see, God works through people, but he expects people to do something. So every prophecy I like to communicate is conditional. And I like to communicate it this way. Also, it's like God will not prophesy a boat or a car 99% of the time. Why? Because he'll rather teach you to have the character. He'll teach you to have integrity, to get a job that's going to promote you or to give you more finances that you can do what? Buy a car. Now, am I saying God will not have someone just give you a car? No, I'm not saying that. But most of the time, if God has someone give you a car, it's because you already have a means to afford the car. But out of nowhere, a car won't show up because you got to pay for the insurance. You got to pay for the gas, the maintenance. If you don't have a job or a means to afford it, God is not going to bring it. And if someone prophesies something that you already know is outside of your means to handle, it's not of God. So we have to understand how God works, how he communicates, what real and false prophecy is, and how to tell the difference. So true prophecy from a prophet is concise, it is direct. It rebukes, it corrects, it edifies, and encourages. We got to know this because there are times I do rebuke people. I actually was in a meeting and I was ministering, and in the middle of my message, the Holy Spirit told me to speak to this one person. And this was a minister. He had a ministry. And I told him the Lord was going to build you up in your character. Now, I didn't know when I was prophesying this specific thing what the man was doing. Only after the meeting, he pulled me to the side and he was talking to me and asked if I wanted to go out to eat. I said, okay. So he took me out to eat and he started to confide in me that he was having some sexual things going on with him and his girlfriend. Now, granted, this man was in ministry and I prophesied in the middle of people that God was going to raise his character so that when he elevates him in ministry, he won't fall due to a lack of character. This man was then telling me about the stuff he was in sexually as a minister, and what he told me was when the Lord had me speak to him about the character issue, he knew exactly what needed to be done. Now, that is God saving someone's image in a public setting. You see, God isn't going to automatically have you prophesy or have someone prophesy a direct sin in front of people to humiliate people. God don't work that way. He'll rebuke you, a person. He'll rebuke you. He'll rebuke me. God has no problem rebuking people, correcting people. Because a father will correct his children. That's what the Bible says. However, God is very strategic about how he does it, because God is also not in the business to humiliate people unless the person is beyond repentance, meaning they are not looking for God to forgive them. They don't see what they're doing as detrimental. If this man that I prophesied to and talked about his character in front of people was in a place where he wasn't sensitive to the Holy Spirit, he didn't really care if God forgave him or not, he wasn't looking for forgiveness, he was just doing his own thing, God would do another thing, which is openly communicate the man's sin, which has happened before. Why? Because there's a difference in how God deals with people. You see, if you're still sensitive to God, he'll work in your life to bring you back to repentance and help you change your character. Or to remove yourself from this sin and have him change that part of your life, that addiction or whatever it is. However, if you get to a place to where you're cold, you're not sensitive, you really don't care, God's going to openly humiliate you. Because there's two forms of humility. One is you volunteer yourself to humble yourself by yielding to the Holy Spirit, staying sensitive to God, and allowing God to work things out. Or you just don't care anymore, and then God has to humiliate you, which is a humiliation type of humbling. Because when God has to humiliate someone, that means that he exposes them. He brings out all their sin openly. What that does is it crushes the person's ego. It takes away from a person. They lose a following, or they are seen now as this type of person for one purpose, to bring healing to the person so they're not deceived to hell. You see, if we get to a place where we can't repent, then we are saying, I'd rather burn in hell and keep this sin. God loves you too much to let that happen. So he will send a prophet or someone to communicate. And when he sends me to someone, a lot of times it's like I just try to do things as private as possible. There was a time I was in the church, and there was this elder in the church, and he was beating his wife and children. God woke me up at midnight. I was sweating, and I felt the anger of God like I never felt it before. And I was like, I know I wasn't sinning. And then the Lord gave me the person's face, and he said he's beating his wife and kids and tell him to stop. And when you do, he might punch you in the face. And then everything just went back to normal. I go to the church. I go straight to this person. I knew that the person might actually get very angry. And I confronted him. I said this. I was like, you're beating your wife and your child. And God told me to tell you to stop. And when I told him that, it was like his eyes got really angry looking. And I just like walked away. A month later, he came up to me and said, what you told me was completely true. I was like, I know it was. I'm glad you got that corrected. And he did. And the leaders of the church dealt with it. I didn't have to go any further because I wasn't a leader of the church. There's a element of authority that everyone walks in. But when it comes to someone like that, it's because God's trying to save a person's marriage, save the person, and bring reconciliation and healing. The wife and the child was most likely praying and asking God to help them. But the way that it brought, the way God did it was he told me specifically to go talk to this person and confront him on it. And it corrected the situation. That is how God works. So God only works through people, vessels. We know this because of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20, that God only works through vessels because he chooses to work through people. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some of honor and some of dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel of honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. See, it is God who appoints and gives to the church. False prophets appoint themselves. That's the key difference. If God anointed someone and called them into an office, he's going to put them in position. And then he's going to reveal to the person what he wants to have spoken by either dreams, visions, or just speaking to their spirit. God speaks to me directly to my spirit most of the time. I do get dreams and visions, but not like my wife, who is like extremely dreams, visions, and that's what she gets. That like she is like to the point, like she sees something in a dream, she wakes up, she's like, oh, that's what I saw. I was like, and that's going to happen because I've witnessed it time and time again. Me, on the other hand, I'll be in a meeting and God randomly tells me to prophesy that person, prophesy this person, or call up all these people and prophesy to all these people, leaders or whoever. And that's how I operate. It's just a little different. But nonetheless, I never appointed myself. And God will always confirm what is spoken through to the person. The prophecy that he speaks through a person will be confirmed by the person receiving it in their spirit as well. Or leaders or somebody will recognize it because it would have already been confirmed or spoken previously by somebody else. Well, God works through multiple people to confirm one word. He's not going to send out some cowboy by himself to prophesy something that no one's ever heard. It's always been confirmed and it will always be confirmed because God is a God of order, not confusion. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 28, it says, and God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. See, it's God who appointed. People don't appoint themselves. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 says, and he himself gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. You see, it's himself that gave some. He didn't give everyone the offices. He gave some. So a lot of people get so caught up on like these titles and whatever it is. And I get it. Titles are frustrating at times. You got people just grabbing things. No one really knows who is who. But God confirms. That's the biggest thing. God will confirm who he appointed. And he always exposes the false. The Bible clearly says that. So a true prophet. Let's talk about this. So a false prophet does not reverence God. A true prophet does. Okay. A false prophet is focused on what they can get out of the title or out of people. They want you to recognize them. They want your money. They make it about themselves. They exalt themselves. A true prophet of God only operates by the Holy Spirit, and he has the Holy Spirit's fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, evident in their life. Okay? The Holy Spirit will always point to Jesus. Therefore, a true prophet will prophesy something that will always point back to Jesus. Never to themselves or never to somebody else. A true prophet always points to Jesus. They are accountable. A true prophet's accountable. Okay? A false prophet doesn't want accountability. They don't want no one to tell them that they're wrong. They have this like very controlling or I heard from God, therefore you have to listen to me. That's not true. The Bible says to test all things. We'll hit on that. So if someone is really like coming at you like you gotta hear what I gotta say because I hear from God, I'm like, the first time if I have someone tell me that, I'm like, look, one, God speaks to me too. And you can say whatever you want, but I don't have to receive it. God doesn't control people. He won't control whether I receive or not receive. And if I don't receive it, I'm not in sin. You can speak like that to prophets. A true prophet of God isn't going to be offended. In fact, if you spoke to me that way, I'm like, oh, okay, great. Hallelujah. But let me give you this. I'll write it down, date it. My name is on it. You can take it to your leaders of your church. You can pray over it. If the Lord does not confirm it, then it's not of God. See, that's how I operate because I know full well. If I speak something, it's going to be something the Holy Spirit told me to tell you. And I know he'll confirm it. And especially when he tells me, tell this person, my presence is going to manifest in their life. They're going to sense me more, like a greater manifestation will come within whatever time frame. I have prophesied that before, and the person's come back and said, like, I felt the Holy Spirit in such a stronger way when you prophesied that. It was like maybe 3 or 4 days later, they're like, yeah, I was in prayer, and it instantly it's like, I just felt God like more intense. See, God prophesied that not because it's like, oh, I hear from God. No, it's because God wanted to tell this person, I'm going to meet you in a different way than you're used to. More intense, more manifestation of my presence. See, God always wants intimacy. That's his purpose. A false prophet doesn't care about God being intimate with anybody. A false prophet wants people to be focused on themselves. See, the Holy Spirit is a person, and a person's life will always point to Jesus. Testify of Jesus. A true prophet will always make their ministry about Jesus. They will never point to themselves. John 15:26. But when the Holy Spirit comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me. You see, the Holy Spirit testifies of Jesus. False prophets. Check this out. They operate by a Jezebel spirit. Now this is pretty deep here. A Jezebel spirit is a false prophesying demon. Okay? The word Jezebel spirit, or words Jezebel spirit, is not mentioned in the Bible, though this demon has been coined a Jezebel spirit, or titled a false prophesying spirit, Jezebel, because the demonized person portrays similar characteristics of the woman Jezebel from 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 21, the queen of Israel, the wife of Ahab. Okay? A Jezebel spirit is very controlling. This is why a false prophet doesn't want to be told they're wrong, because a controlling person does not want to be wrong. A false prophet makes it about themselves. Jezebel made everything about herself. She controlled her husband. She did everything she could to lead people into sin. A false prophet leads people into sin. So a person who is falsely prophesying or yielding to a desire to be a prophet, think about that, the desire to be one. So a person who desires to be a prophet or any other office of ministry, whether it be an apostle, a pastor, an evangelist, or a teacher, it doesn't matter. Anyone who desires those positions or gives themselves the title of those positions, they are demonized. Okay? Not possessed, rather deceived into believing they are sent by God. When you operate in rebellion, you operate in witchcraft. Rebellion is witchcraft. We know that because of 1 Samuel 15:23. So when a person takes a title or a position or a leadership position in a church, even if God never told them to start a church and they started a church, they're in rebellion. It's the body of Christ, not the body of man. So if God didn't appoint them, they're in rebellion doing something they want to do, not what God told them to do. And now they're operating in a deceiving spirit, a manipulative spirit, a false spirit, which is opening them up to a Jezebel spirit. So a possessed person or people do not control their actions. That's why I said they're demonized, not possessed. Because they are fully subjected to the will of a demon. That's a possessed person. They yield to the demon. A demonized person is deceived into believing what a demon is communicating. You see, this is where it gets interesting, because the difference between possessed means I no longer really do what I want. I'm doing what a demon is forcing me to do, or I yield to the power of the demon, which is why the person that Jesus healed of who was demonized, they were cutting themselves and all this other thing, and all these other things, burning themselves in the fire, all that kind of stuff. What was happening was, is this person was possessed to the point that they were not thinking in their right mind. That's a possessed person. That's someone who is fully compelled to yield to a demon. A demonized person means they can still think for themselves. They know what they're doing. They can go off and on with this demonized position or mentality. They will try to hold their position, but they're demonized in doing it because they're deceived thinking. And this is where it gets interesting. This is why a lot of people, if you teach spiritual warfare or teach prophecy, for instance, which I'll be getting into later on, is how do you actually prophesy? You will either hear from God, you hear from a demon, or you hear from your own head, your own thoughts. That's why a lot of people who are deceived into thinking they're prophesying what Jesus is saying, they're not. They're actually prophesying what a demon is saying because they don't know the difference. But a demonized person who appoints themselves into a position of leadership is now listening to a demon, and that demon has made themselves out to be an angel of light, similar to the Holy Spirit. So now they're doing things that they feel the Holy Spirit's leading them, but it's not. It's a demon, because they don't understand the difference. So they can think cognitively about what they are doing and speaking. They just believe that they are hearing from God when they're not, and they have been led by a demon. This is why you have to know and you look at the fruit of the Spirit. You see, a good person will bear good fruits. A person who yields the Holy Spirit is going to bear good fruits. This is one of the key elements of knowing who is hearing from God and who is not. Traits of a Jezebel spirit: manipulation, control, deception, demon worship, idolatrous lifestyle, pride, self-exaltation, religious, murderous, covetous, discord, and lust. They gossip, they do all this kind of stuff. That's a person who is led by a Jezebel spirit. So if there's a minister who's been caught in adultery, it's a part of Jezebel. Because that demon leads to that perversion lifestyle. That's why that minister or ministry would have had a lot of people bound to a lot of sexual perversion. There would be a lot of stuff going on behind the scenes. Or if you meet a lot of people, they justify the behavior. Oh, well, God loves me. He knows my needs, my heart, and all this kind of stuff. It's a lie and it's deception. Every demon works through the head, meaning if the leadership is corrupt, every person under that leadership is going to have that same spirit working in their life. They'll have to combat that spirit. It goes top down. The head is supposed to be the covering. If the leadership does not have a good submission, yielded lifestyle to the Holy Spirit, they are not a good covering, and they will open you up as a yielded vessel, a submissive individual going to that church, to those demons. The demon worship, idolatrous lifestyle, is the person making something else the focus. In this case, a false prophet worships themselves. A Jezebel spirit One trait is its obsessive passion for domineering and controlling others, especially in the spirit realm. That's where the prophecies are more controlling, not giving you your own free will. God will never prophesy against your free will. He always leaves it open for you to do whatever you want. The demon, like a Jezebel demon, is going to use a supernatural talk, meaning actions or sounds religious, to deceive you into believing they are spiritual. This person who is falsely prophesying will make it sound so religious, so on point with God. It's like, wow, this person just speaks so eloquently or persuasive, and it sounds so good. However, it speaks into your flesh, not your spirit. A false prophecy builds you up fleshly and makes you feel all good about yourself. I'll tell you right now, if you're living in sin and God told me to prophesy to you, I would probably prophesy to you what God wants to do in your life, but then also in the middle of the prophecy, tell you some things He wants to change too. Not to humiliate you, especially if you're in front of people, but to convict you, because the Holy Spirit is a spirit of conviction. He isn't going to let you just think, oh yeah, live in disobedience and you're going to see the blessings of God come your way. That's not how it works. False prophets will have you believe that. If you are left confused, intimidated, and fearful of not complying, you just met Jezebel. That's how a Jezebel spirit operates. You have to listen to them. Revelations chapter 2, verse 20. But I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, claiming to be inspired, and who is teaching and leading astray my servants, and beguiling them into practicing sexual vice and eating food sacrificed to idols. You see, right there, the person Jezebel, it's actually said a woman Jezebel calling herself a prophetess. So now it's coined two titles in one, the Jezebel and the prophetess. And it's claiming to be a person who's inspired. They're teaching people to sin. That's why we know a Jezebel spirit will teach people to sin. In the New Testament, the term Jezebel is a spirit. Old Testament referred to a person, but the characteristics of both are very identical. Something prophesied that is not of God is from Satan and has the intent to steal, kill, and destroy. This is why the Bible says the thief comes to steal and kill and destroy in John 10:10. You see, if a person prophesies over you, it is not of God. It is a curse. If a true prophet prophesies over you, it is a blessing, not a curse, because it came from God. Anything from God is good. Anything from Satan is evil. We know this. So anything from Satan is going to be a curse. That means if someone is led by a demon to prophesy, they're going to prophesy a curse, because it will not be prophesied in the will of God. A person who is led by the Holy Spirit will prophesy that of the Holy Spirit, and it will be words spoken by the Holy Spirit for you, and it will be a blessing. So things you may hear from false prophets. This is what a lot of people will say. Thus says the Lord, I feel the Lord wants me to tell you this. I dreamt about you last night. You were in my vision. That's usually how they start out. It's like, thus says the Lord. Very similar to a real prophet. I always say, thus says the Lord. And I write my prophecies down where they're recorded. And I'm open for a rebuke. I feel the Lord wants me to tell you this. That's what a lot of people say. A lot of people won't say, thus says the Lord nowadays. They'll just say, I feel the Lord wants me to tell you this. I just say, thus says the Lord, because it just removes the confusion. And it really forces someone to test it. I'd rather be tested. I'd rather be corrected. I'd rather be rebuked than to leave someone thinking it was not God. And everywhere I go, when I minister, I tell people, test all things. And this is what the Lord is saying. Thus says the Lord. And then I proceed to communicate it. And then the people will either confirm it. And I've, like the last travel I did, I had over 100 people prophesying to them. And it was like, I had a pastor's wife walk up and say that all the things you were prophesying was like exactly what I was dealing with. It was exactly what the Lord was telling me. And I had no idea what this person was like praying about or anything. It was just, that's what I knew. Oh, the Lord was saying, so I spoke it, and it confirmed with her already. I dreamt about you last night. If you have someone claiming to be a prophet, and they tell you they're dreaming about you, run away. Ain't no prophet ever going to say, I dreamt about you. They're going to say, I felt the Lord telling me to tell you this. I saw you in a vision or a dream. That's how they're going to communicate it, because they're going to want to make sure you understand this is how it came. This is how they see it. They're not out there randomly dreaming about you. Another one is, you were in my vision. A lot of times, if God gives me a vision of someone, I'm not going to go out there and just tell them the vision. A lot of times when I get a vision, or my wife gets a vision, it isn't for us to spill the beans per se. It is for us to pray about the person. True prophets of God know their intercessors first. They're not out there prophesying. They are interceding for people. When I get a dream about someone, it's usually I got to pray. And I got to pray a lot for this person, maybe even fast for them. That's just because that's how God works for me. I know when I get dreams or visions, it's because I have to pray. I have to intercede. Something's happening in that person's life. It's not for me to go up, find them, and run around and be like, hey, look, I had a vision, and this is what the Lord showed me. And no, it's for me to keep my mouth shut, pray for them, and if I come around them, I would probably have something else to prophesy for them, or I won't even mention it because the Lord may not want me to tell them. See, the Lord doesn't always want everything spoken. A false prophet wants everything to be heard because they want to make a show about themselves. These two things are usually what true prophets speak. Thus says the Lord, or I feel the Lord wants me to tell you this. A death sentence for false prophecy. A lot of people don't like this verse because they're like, well, God, he's the God of mercy and grace in the New Testament. Well, the Bible also says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So there is a death sentence when you speak, it thus says the Lord, and it not be of God. A true prophet will have a real authentic reverence for God. They understand the severity of lying to someone using the name of the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 20 through 22. But the prophet who presumes to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or who speaks in the name of other gods, that prophet shall die. Now, will God allow someone to walk up to someone else and just murder them? No. Does God do it himself? Absolutely. God does have patience. However, if a person is repeatedly putting words in God's mouth, his mouth, and falsely prophesying over and over and over again, eventually that person is going to have their life cut short. Why? Because God will protect his character, his word, 100% of the time. And he'll protect his people. He will not tolerate being made out to be a liar. A lot of people don't have the reverence of God who are false prophets because they don't care. They don't see the ramifications. They don't see the consequences. But there's always consequences. So, what to look for in a false prophet? Predictions do not come true. We know this because, and if you say in your heart, how shall we know that the word which the Lord has not spoken, or when a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. That is really how you know if it is or is not of God. However, sometimes a prophecy can take up to 10, 20, 30 years to come to pass, or even generations. So you can't just go off of that one thing to dictate whether it was or was not true. You have to understand how prophecies work. Abraham had God prophesying to him about Israel. It wasn't but 400 years later that Israel was in Egypt, going to be delivered. Or after longer than that, actually, because they were in Egypt for 400 years, and then they were delivered. So basically, we're talking about hundreds of years until that prophecy came to pass. So we got to really think about when God has someone prophesy to us, it's best to just put it on the shelf, not take it like, oh, it's the gospel, I'm going to hold on to this until that comes to pass. You could actually deter what God has called you to do and put a delay on the blessings of God because you're trusting in a word that you haven't even really tested or prayed about. And you're just hoping it would be true, and that can actually deceive you and lead you away from the purpose of God for your life. Another thing is, can perform miraculous signs and wonders. In Acts chapter 8, verse 9 through 10, there was a sorcerer, and his name was Simon, who previously practiced sorcery in the city, and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, "This man is the great power of God." A false person, sorcerer, wizard, prophet, whoever, can actually do things that are supernatural. This has to be understood. Not everything is of God. Now, one thing Satan can never do is raise the dead. That'll never happen, because God is the God of life, and he is the only one who can give life. Other things is healing. A demon can make it appear that a person is healed because they removed their pain or suffering from the person, but it'll only be short-lived, because God is ultimately the only one who can cast a demon out of a person. See, Satan can't cast a demon out of a person, because if Satan cast out Satan, he's fighting against himself. The Bible says that. Only a Holy Spirit-filled person can cast a demon out of a person. So a demon can make it appear to be a healing when it's not, but it'll always be there because the person is still bound by the demon. This is like things you gotta look at when you go and hear people prophesy or pray over people and it appears like they've been healed or whatever. Give it time. The truth always comes out, because the Lord always talks about how he exposes things with the light. And time is the best exposer. They claim to be Christ. That's a false prophecy, or prophet, I mean. Because Matthew 24, verse 5, many will come in my name saying, "I am Christ," and they deceive many. They will also say Jesus is Christ, and they will deceive many because they will act like they are preachers or ministers or whatever. They have an unbiblical lifestyle. Jude gives specific detail about false ministers and their lifestyle. That's the big thing, is that you look at the fruit of the person. They deny Christ's identity. You see, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 through 3, it says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world." So, if a person does not actively say Jesus came in the flesh, they're already 100% the Antichrist spirit. They are a false prophet 100%. That is like the surest, quickest way to tell that someone's a false prophet, when they came and say Jesus died on the cross, came in the flesh. So, teachings lead people away from the Lord. That's the other thing. A false prophet will always tell you what you want to hear. They'll minister words that are very compelling and easy to receive, and they never convict you. They never really tell you to repent. I'll tell you 100% of the time, you need to repent. Everyone has to repent of something. Everyone makes a mistake. There's always a need for repentance and always a need to yield to the Holy Spirit. A false prophet does not emphasize repentance. Fruit of a prophet. So faithful men and women of God will produce fruit of the Holy Spirit. The good works with a steadfast character. Matthew 7, 15 through 20, it says, "Be aware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them." That is one of the best ways. You watch their lifestyle, you watch how they talk, you just listen. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If we take time to just observe a person, just listen, to watch their lifestyle, you will know where their character is. False prophets will tell you what you want to hear. They will also tell you to not read the Bible as much, or there's no need for you to pray that much. There was a person in my life who actually told me that I read the Bible too much, or threatened me not to read it. That right there was not of God. So you need to understand that the Word of God encourages day and night praying. It encourages daily reading the Word. Old Testament terminology was, I read your law daily. That's what the psalmists even wrote. It's like, I would read your word, or I read your law, I studied your law, I meditated on your law, or your word. See, when in the Old Testament, when they use law, it's really just the Word of God. That's what they had, was scrolls. They had manuscripts. And that was the law they had at the time. We have the whole canon. We have the biblical Word of God from Genesis to Revelation. We should be reading it, studying it daily. So they will use words like, you're religious for reading your Bible so much. That's false prophets. They will also say, you should trust the Holy Spirit to tell you things, and you should not study the Bible every day. The Holy Spirit is all you need. They did not have the Bible in the Old Testament or in the New Testament. Therefore, you do not need to memorize it now. That is a bunch of I'm not going to say the words I want to say. Just don't listen to that stuff. Anyone who tries to tell you that is really trying to deceive you. See, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And one of the things is this. You cannot grow in your faith unless you hear the Word of God. That means you got to read it to hear it. You have to receive it. The Word of God is necessary. So if someone tries to say, I only hear the Holy Spirit, I don't read the Bible, I will tell you right now, they're deceived. Because the Word of God is going to expose and teach. All of us always forget things. But the Holy Spirit builds our character the more and more we read the Word. The washing of the Word of God. That's what the Word of God says too. It's like the washing. It cleanses you. It renews your mind. You have to read the Word of God. True prophets push you to read and memorize the Bible. You can only test the true spirit, the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God. Every prophecy is going to come in line with the Word of God. False prophets, words of knowledge, will not be true. They will falsely accuse people of things and justify why it is true. Meaning this. I was around someone who claimed to be a prophet. But every time I was around them, I was always living in some sort of sin. It was very annoying. I was accused of things I wasn't even doing. I had a really good friend, and they accused me of lusting over their spouse. I was like, do what? This man was consistent in accusing me of things over and over and over again. That's a false prophet, a false minister. Those kind of people you don't need to be around. You don't need to listen to them. They're not hearing from God. They also like to use gaslighting. They want to accuse you of something without evidence and then gaslight you into believing what they're saying is true. And also deny, if you confront them on it in front of people, that they even said it. They're like, well, that's not what I meant. That happened many times. False prophets will use words of knowledge. They will say things that are false only to make themselves look good. But they don't care if it destroys your name, your character, or reputation. That's a false prophet. They don't care about you. They want your money. But they don't care about whether or not you really are close to God. They don't really care if you're reading the Word of God, if you have an intimate relationship with God. They don't care about you spiritually as a person. They only care what they can get from you. And they will lie about you even if it makes them look good. True prophets will give words of knowledge that expose you for the purpose of repentance. Their words of knowledge will bear truth. If I give a word of knowledge, it's going to penetrate something going on in your life at the moment. And it's going to affect you spiritually. And it will lead you to repentance. Or it will lead you to a place of being very close to God. Like, wow, I really need to seek God even more now. A person who is secure where God has them will not seek after a title. So prophets give two kinds of prophecy. They give a prophecy of peace and a prophecy of judgment. Prophecy of peace must come to pass. We know this. There's one scripture in the Bible that talks about a prophecy of peace. Jeremiah 28:9. As for the prophet who prophesies of peace, when the word of the prophet comes to pass, the prophet will be known as one whom the Lord has truly sent. The word peace above means shalom. The Hebrew word below, from the concordance, this word means peace in all areas of life. That shalom means this: safety, happy, well. So it means prosperity, it means health. Every area of your life is what a shalom is. It affects. So anything good in your life is shalom. It is peaceful. It is good. It came from God. So when a prophet prophesies something good, they are actually prophesying a shalom. Jeremiah 28:9. And it has to come to pass. It doesn't say it might. The word of God says any prophet who prophesies of peace, remember that, they're prophesying shalom. They're prophesying prosperity, comfort, healing, restoration. If they're prophesying that the situation is going to change into your favor, promotion, it doesn't matter what it is. If it's good, it has to happen, or they're a false prophet. That's the word of God. So when a prophet prophesies one of these things, it has to happen. Safety, wellness, happiness, welfare, good health, prosperity, peace, favor, rest, wholeness. So if a prophecy comes to pass, the only way it is not from God is if the prophet says to follow another god or themselves, or makes it about themselves. You see, a false prophet can also prophesy something that comes to pass. Just because a prophecy is true does not mean it is from God. All aspects of a prophecy has to point to Jesus. Deuteronomy chapter 13, 1 through 5, talks about if a prophet or a dreamer of dreams arises among you and gives you a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder comes true, concerning which he spoke to you, saying, let us go after other gods whom you have not known, and let us serve them, you shall not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God is testing you to find out if you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall follow the Lord your God and fear him, and you shall keep his commandments, listen to his voice, serve him, and cling to him. But the prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he has counseled rebellion against the Lord your God, who brought you from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery, to seduce you from the way in which the Lord your God commanded you to walk. So you shall purge the evil from among you. Again, death to a false prophet. There is a consequence to lead people into sin. A false prophet does not have the fear of the Lord, and they do not care. But God will not be mocked. Prophecy of judgment does not have to come to pass. We know this because the Bible talks about mercy triumphs judgment. James chapter 2, verse 13. For the judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs judgment. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? You see, God is more willing to not bring judgment than he is to actually stone people, judge people, condemn people. He would rather show mercy than show judgment, because he's a God of love. And Romans chapter 2, verse 5 through 8, it talks about that accordance with your hardness and your impotent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who, by patient countenance and doing good, seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. Prophecy of judgment is given for the purpose of leading the person to repentance. Mercy triumphs judgment. God is more willing to forgive and will if the person repents. If the person does not repent, then judgment will come for their deliberate rebellion. Jonah is the best example. He went to Nineveh. He didn't want to go, but he went and prophesied to Nineveh that the city would be destroyed. Everyone, including the animals, repented. Because of that, the judgment didn't happen in the time of Jonah. However, it did happen generations later, because eventually Nineveh was destroyed because it was a very wicked city. It's just because of that time when they repented, it never came to pass during their lives. Repentance is humbling. And when a person does that, when a person humbles themselves before God, it will always, 100% of the time, remove God's judgment from their life. So attributes of false teachers. This is taken from David Jeremiah. And you can study this. You can find it in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 9. It lays it out very clearly what false teachers are. They infiltrate the church. That's verse 1. They come in secret. They look like they're a part of the church. They love looking religious. But they're a secret curse, more or less. That's what I call them. They deny the work of Jesus. They blaspheme the truth. They are greedy. They use words that sound remarkably close to the truth. They follow the flesh. They are presumptuous and self-willed. They do not want to be under another one's or anyone's authority. That's the big thing. A false prophet, false teacher, whoever, does not want to be under authority. I have a covering. See, our ministry has a covering, an apostolic covering. It's very important because we're accountable. And we allow other apostles to speak into our lives and to hold us accountable for what we do. So they exhibit peace on the outside, but are like untamed beasts on the inside. They speak more evil than good. They are ignorant. They love to deceive others. They are full of adultery. They cannot cease from sinning. They prey on unstable new believers. They intentionally speak lies. They are out for monetary gain. They talk a lot but say nothing. They make grandiose promises but never deliver. They use alluring thoughts to provoke attention from their audience. They make promises they cannot deliver. That's like right there, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 19. That's an entire chapter just on false teachers. So I hope this has helped you gain some understanding of true and false prophets. False prophets are teachers. Yes, they do teach the Word of God. How they teach it, the method, and all this kind of stuff, just take note of it. You need to understand this because as the days get closer to Jesus' return, there's going to be many, many more people wanting to act like they hear from God when they don't. I want to pray over you right now, but the Holy Spirit was speaking to me as I was going through this teaching because He does have a word. And I always prophesy in every one of my messages. It came at the end of this one. And you got to know, God, oh my goodness, He loves you so much. He doesn't want anyone deceived. He doesn't want anyone falling into any form of a lie or anything like that. And He does care. He cares so much about you. And this is what He's speaking. He says, "Thus says the Lord, I will confirm my word. I will speak my word through my servants. Every person who is baptized by my spirit can and do prophesy. If they yield to my spirit, they will speak forth my words. My words will confirm. It will be confirmed in their heart, the person receiving, and they will also be confirmed by other people coming and repeating what was already spoken and prophesied. I am not a God of confusion. I am not a God who misleads my children. I am not a God who showboats or is for sale. I do not sell my blessings. I do not sell my giftings. I do not sell prophecies. I freely give. I want my people blessed. I want you to test all things to know if it's me speaking your God or if it is somebody else or some demon working through a person. Test everything, my child, because I love you. I care about you. I do not want you deceived. I do not want you misled. I do not want you to hear a false prophecy and then go onto a detour, walking away from what I've been calling you to do because the word sounds so good that it makes you think, oh, it's really for me. My child, I will send other words to correct that word. I do not want you to be bound to deception. If it's of me, I will confirm it. Just trust me. Trust my spirit. Pray about every word that you receive, every prophecy you receive, every vision and every dream. I am a God of promise. I am a God who is near. I am a God who sees and I hear. I understand. I see it. I know it. And I will always guide you and walk next to you to help you to accomplish my will for your life. I want you to accomplish my will. Let me lead you. Let me be the one to confirm what you hear. I will be there to help you by my Holy Spirit, says the Lord. You see, the Lord, He is so passionate and so in love with us. He doesn't want us to be deceived. He doesn't want us to go and hear from some person only to find ourselves going down some road we shouldn't be walking on, some path He has not set for us. He wants you to know that He speaks, He clearly hears, He understands, and He is near, and He will continue to lead you. If you've received any prophecies, false prophecies, I want to pray over you right now, because those prophecies have to be canceled, because they're curses. So right now, I pray over you right now in the name of Jesus. I cancel every false prophecy, every word spoken, everything that someone has communicated that was not of God. I cancel it, break it, and then loose it off your life now and send it back to the pit of hell with seven times God's judgment attached to it. And it will no longer have any residue left on your life, spiritually or physically, in the name of Jesus. If it was a word spoken over your finances, spoken over your marriage or relationships or your home in general, any area of your life, your health, it doesn't matter. In the name of Jesus, I break it off you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for delivering, setting free your child, the one who was lied to. That Lord, I pray right now that you turn this curse, like you've done it for Israel, do it for them now. Turn it into a blessing. This false prophecy, this lie they've received, we cancel it, break it, and we send it now back to the sender with seven times God's judgment attached to it. But Lord, we send your blessing upon their life now, sevenfold. Lord, we thank you that, Lord, you are teaching them to follow your ways, teaching you to hear your voice, teaching you and teaching them by your Holy Spirit to understand when you are speaking or when someone else is speaking, Lord, or a demon is speaking. Lord, I thank you for giving them the wisdom, the understanding, the discerning of spirit, Lord. I pray more discernment into their life right now in Jesus' name. More discernment so they are not misled, Jesus. Thank you for what you've done in their life. We pray a prophet's blessing over them. I pray a prophet's blessing over them right now in Jesus' name. We thank you for the Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the King of Kings Watchman podcast. We pray today's message strengthened your faith, sharpened your discernment, and helped you deepen your relationship with God. Remember to stay watchful, stay prayerful, and remain aligned with what God is doing in this hour. For more prophetic insight, updates, and opportunities to give, visit thekingofkingswatchman.org. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you and give you peace. Until next time, stand firm, stay ready, and keep watching with the King of Kings Watchmen podcast.